Everyone ready to go? Okay. All right, we will now call to order the July 8, 2014 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of our June 10, 2014 meeting, approved them, and have now executed them. Do we have any announcements before we proceed to the hearing of cases?
I don't believe so, Mr. DeCoco. I think all the ones that are in compliance are reflected on the agenda.
All right. Well, then, all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right. The first case I have on the agenda is Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC.
Mr. Pekelcher, this case, Anthony Jackson for the City of Daytona Beach. On this case, the Mayan, and we continue this from the previous agenda, it's here for a progress report. And the short answer would be that there's some problems regarding the progress, and we were anticipating someone from our permits division to be here, and they're not here right now, so we're asking if we can pass this just a couple of maybe even to the end, if we could just pass it and we'll, if we can deal with it at the end. Okay. And the main point is just wanting to make sure we can give you a clear picture of where they're deficient and what we think they can do about it.
Who's the gentleman who was here toward the end of the meeting last month?
I don't recall.
Representative for Mayan Ocean Waters?
Yes, that was Mr. Ziegler.
Mr. Ziegler. Are we expecting Mr. Ziegler to be in attendance today?
I've not been advised that anyone from Mayan would be here.
I know we communicated with Inspector Garcia.
All right, so you're asking me to pass this to the end of the meeting?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's fine. Please remind me.
Okay.
All right. Case number two I have is in compliance. Case number three, Helena W. Montgomery Revocable Trust. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir. Michael Flower, attorney for Ms. Montgomery, who's here with me along with their realtor.
Okay, counsel. As you've already stated your name for the record.
Yes, sir.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. So what say the city?
Mr. Power, is anybody going to be giving any testimony?
They're going to be speaking. They need to be sworn.
Okay.
I just need you both to state your names, please, for the record.
Linda Montgomery.
And Laura Nix. Okay. And can you raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. You're welcome to have me if you'd like.
All right, let's say the city.
Mr. Kelch, this is a this was a tenant complaint, vacant property, tenant complaint, and was they were complaining of the conditions of the residence. We went there. Up to this point, we had not limited contact. We had no progress from the owner or contact. And shortly after the owner was put on notice, the property was put for sale. The current status is that it remains in non-compliance, and the city staff is asking for a $200 per day fine up to a maximum of $15,000.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I got a correction.
Is
That's 15. Yeah, that's correct. The couch up to $15,000.
Mm-hmm. All right. It looks like we have a lengthy list of violations to be remedied. Have any of them been remedied to our knowledge?
I'll tender those questions to the inspector, John Simpson.
Good morning. The violations that have been corrected are the outside storage, the accessory structure has been removed, the fencing has been removed. All of the violations still exist. All remaining violations still exist. So in short, everything on the outside has been done.
Order of compliance was entered April 24th, giving the respondent until July 2. Does that sound correct? Order of non-compliance was entered April 24th. Notice of violation, November 2013. So we go from November to April, April to July. July 2 to now.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Clower, what say the respondent?
Judge, as I said, the outside has been cleaned up, so there's no violations there. The inside has been gutted as far as removing trash that accumulated. Just for a short history on this, this was a rental property, and the folks that came in with three children. It turns out after they got it moved into this property, they actually had 13 children. And they absolutely trashed this place. They were stealing water from the city. They had messed with the electrical outlets, messed with the electrical box. It took us a couple months to get them out of there. They filed an appeal of being evicted. That's gone nowhere. I have no idea where these people are anymore. But they left us with a mess. So my client has elected not to rent this property out to anybody for any purposes, and it was listed for sale, and it's still for sale. And they're showing that we have the realtor here who can testify to that. But nobody's going to be living in this place. It's not a fire hazard. It's just an empty building that's sitting there on Mason Avenue, basically, up for sale as a commercial property. Whoever buys the property would have to go in there and redo the whatever they want to do to it, to make it into a medical office or whatever they want to do. But nobody's living there. We have no intent of having anybody live there or even go into the property. And all the trash is gone inside the house. I mean, they left it absolutely trashed. If you can imagine having 13 kids in a residential piece of property that's probably meant for three kids and two family members, to the parent and the mother.
When were the tenants finally removed?
I had two orders on that. They kept trying to stay in the property. They filed when I got a writ issued. Default judgment for possession was issued April 28th.
Hang on a second. Say that again now.
Default judgment for possession was entered by Judge Kelly on April 28th. And we had to go to trial. These people just, they wouldn't get out of the property.
All right. So talk to me about the course of the litigation, because I'm assuming the tenants were in there through April 28th at least.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming you're going to tell me your client didn't have access while they were occupying the property.
We weren't allowed into the property.
Okay, so that tells me my order of April. Anyway, fine.
We started this process back in February, looks like. They sued us. My client was just trying to get them to get out without having to hire me to do something. Mm-hmm. They sued us back on January 6th, and it took us until April 28th to actually get them out of there. It was a, this guy knows how to use a system. He's obviously done this before somewhere else because he was good at it. And every time I file something, it would be usually a motion to dismiss because he'd bring the same issues up with a new lawsuit. He filed two lawsuits. We got him out. We got a judgment on one, and he turned around and filed another lawsuit. So then I had to go back and start all over again. One of them was, I think, was Judge Fields, and the other one was with the first one was Judge Fields that was filed in January, and then the second one was with Judge Kelly that he finally says, you're out of there. And it took us, it took us 4 or 5 months to get these guys out of there. And they trashed the place.
Mr. Flowers indicating the exterior of the property has been cleaned up. What say the city of that?
Mr. Stinson indicates he agrees with that. He says that the problems are interior problems, and Mr. Clower indicates that the place has been gutted. The inspector says he's unaware of that. I hadn't had an opportunity to go and inspect it. He would expect by next cutoff, if indeed it's been gutted, everything could be remedied that was internal. But
gutted,
I was going to speak to that.
I'm sorry. By gutted, I mean the place was trashed.
Okay.
And they went in there and they filled up a big dumpster with trash from just inside the house.
Okay.
So it's been cleaned out. So it's not a fire hazard. And it's not a health hazard at this point.
But the things that were indicated to be repaired, you don't believe they've been repaired?
No.
And
we had a contractor in there, and the cost of repairing it, we just didn't have the money.
Okay, and so what you're suggesting is there's no intent to repair it, but just
we made the election not to repair it and just sell it as is and let whoever buys the property do whatever they want to with it. It's really commercial property. It's not residential. But we have no intent of letting anybody use the property in the future. Again, a lot of the issues that were causing this property were actually caused by the tenants doing the damage. And we think they were stealing water from the city. We think they had messed with the electrical box to get free electricity. And all that now needs to be repaired. And we got a judgment against them for damages, but that's uncollectible.
What was your judgment?
It was for $3,000. And attorney's fees also. None of which is collectible from these people. They live on public support. And I have no idea where they run to next. Probably out of state or some other place in Florida where they can wreak havoc on the community.
If I can say, Mr. McKelvey, we don't have a practice of just allowing a property to sit and its condition of noncompliance for the purpose of waiting for a sale. The circumstance, according to the inspectors, that the violations that are indicated are not violations that would create any risk of the structure or risk of any individual entering into the structure. However, of course, as you can see, the nature of this list, it's a list where this place should not be occupied or used in any way. We don't want an unlimited time for for compliance just because they're waiting for a sale. So with that being said, the inspector is willing to give at least, okay, I was willing to again have an opportunity to inspect, go in and the position still that they could have this in compliance by next cutoff.
Okay, but the inspector hasn't been inside?
That's correct.
So you don't know what the status is?
Well, not since the tenants were there.
Inspection back in November of
13. Correct.
go ahead and find the problems caused by the tenant, caused or contributed to the delay in the respondent being able to come into compliance at least through April 28th. I'm hearing from both sides that some work has been done on the exterior. I'm hearing from one side more work has been done on the interior. I'm not trying to overstate it, but it sounds like some work has been done on the interior. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue this matter to our August 12th meeting. In the interim, our inspector is going to have access to the interior so I can have more specifics as far as what exactly, because I'm hearing the exterior is in order. That's not to preclude our inspector from including whatever he wants, but my primary intent is to find out what the status is with regard to the interior. In the interim, the property will not be rented. It will be secured to city standards, and the exterior will be maintained. When we reconvene on August 12th, I'll know more about the interior and how much time can reasonably be expected to bring that into compliance. I can work with you somewhat with regard to time, but not indefinitely. So once I know the extent or the scope of the work to be done to the interior, once our man has had access, then I'll have more information with which to try to fashion a reasonable amount of time for you to come into compliance, and then thereafter, we'll see. But again, let me emphasize, it's going to be your client's responsibility to see to it that the exterior is maintained, secure, and it's secured to city standards, and it's not rented, utilized, or otherwise occupied until it's brought into compliance. I don't know how, you know, I expect this to be done either by your client or her successor, whomever it may be. So I don't know how any prospective purchaser, well, I can only assume any prospective purchaser is notified that there's an active file down here in the city of Daytona Beach with regard to code violation.
What is the statutory obligation? And I believe Mr. Clark may be aware of in Chapter 162.
Yeah.
For notification.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do that, and then on August 12th, I'll have more information about what's left to be done. Then I'll hear from both sides as far as how much time would reasonably be required to get that work done. And then I'll also take into consideration your client's plans, if you will. And then we'll go from there.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you.
I see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Case number 4, Richard W. and Lilia O. Morgan. Seeing a respondent, what's say the city?
Yes, sir. This is the property at 619 Arbondine Street. The inspector indicates that the respondent is working on it, but what they've done has been an insufficient effort, and the staff is requesting a $100 fine to a maximum of 15. Well, okay, he looks like he may have found some additional information since we last spoke about this, so I will attend an inspector. The inspector is John Stinson, and I'll ask him to address the court.
Good morning. The only correction that I have is that they have made a lot more progress. The roof has been redone. Most of the violations have been corrected. There's still a couple on the inside. I'd like to amend this to the next cutoff.
Okay. Based on our inspector's report, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until August 6, 2014, to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Right, case number 5, Charles W. Mecklem Revocable Trust. Seeing a respondent, what say the city?
That's a lot of
Mr. Kelger, this property is 515 Brentwood Drive, and the inspector indicates this has just been a constant problem, unresolved. It's still in non-compliance, and he's asking for a $200 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000. This is rental property.
All right, were any of these issues resolved since we met last?
The outside storage has been removed. We still have, as you can tell, these pictures are from this morning. Still, we have the parking issues surrounding the property.
And that's through contact with the owner?
The actual owner, correct.
You've had contact with the actual owner?
I have had contact with the owner. I spoke with him on Thursday, and he assured me that all of the violations had been corrected, all the trailers had been moved. As of this morning, this is what it looks like. We have two trucks on the Brentwood side, and three trucks illegally parked on the Brentwood side, one car parked on that side. See, that's from yesterday. Great, it's in compliance, until I went by there this morning.
Refresh my recollection. Wasn't there some parking problem or issue, or what was it? It seemed like we heard some sort of verbose explanation as to why they couldn't comply. I can't remember what that was.
On the Brentwood side of the property, to the east, is a perceived driveway. Right now you're looking at the west side of the property. Now you're looking at the southwest side of the property. That is not the proper way to park where that blue truck is. To the east, which would be to the left right there, that's actually a perceived driveway. There's
it's
a gate. There's
a what? A perceived driveway?
A perceived driveway. That's actually a driveway with a double gate that you can actually access the yard. So it is a driveway where those two white trucks are, which is fine. However, those trucks don't usually stay there. They are generally in all different positions on the property. As you can tell by the other photographs, they usually swap places with the blue truck, swap places with the trailer on the Palm Street side, and it's just a mess. It's probably a total of 7 or 8 vehicles on that property at any given time. Therefore, they don't have enough parking. So,
what do we have, a commercial operation being operated in a residential area here?
Well, apparently these tenants work for this roofing company, and they decide to bring their material and trucks and stuff home with them on a daily basis. So,
all right, and you've indicated this is a recurring issue.
That's correct.
So are we looking for a will fine at some point in time?
I believe we're at the...
Yes. Well, it'll be... It's actually a part of our non-compliance order, so we already have that in place for the future. But right now, we're still in the present violation status. But yeah, any future violations will now be subject to the repeat violation or the will fine based on your finding of non-compliance.
And these are from this morning, right there.
Okay. How quickly do our orders get out to our respondents? Just typically, it's nothing
extraordinary. I just wanted to make sure that you were reminded that this is a complaint-generated situation as well. This is not just the inspector driving around, but there are complaints regarding the conditions.
Okay, I'm going to order, and this is a rental property?
Yes, sir.
And so you're looking at the plot. Okay, I'm going to amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent 10 days, that would be next Friday, to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $200 per day will go into effect and will continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached $15,000, whichever occurs first. Is anyone here in touch with Mr. Mecklem?
Yes, sir.
Because I know this is an owner-tenant issue. So anyway, you might just forewarn him. He's got 10 days to either get rid of the cars or get rid of the tenant. Or it's $200 a day.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Case number 6 is in compliance. Case number 7, J. Louise Gates and Genesis Karma Messiana. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
This is a new case. Mr. Coucher, property at 222 North Hollywood Avenue. The property remains in non-compliance. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it doesn't. That's what my note says. The property is in compliance, and what we're asking for is for the finding of non-compliance and now in compliance, basically the effect of a will fine. As you can see, tenant was doing unpermitted tattooing in the garage rear of the property.
He's doing tattooing in a garage in a residential area?
Yes.
Based on our inspector's based on the report of the city attorney, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. And based on the further information provided by the city attorney, I now find the respondent to be in compliance. And am I now going on to put the will fine language in there?
It's in our standard order, but if you want to...
No. As long as the art, then I'm, having verified that the will fine language is in the standard order, then that'll suffice, then I'll enter the standard order on this matter, knowing that the will fine...
The repeat violation language.
...will be available for repeat violations. Okay. Case number 8 is in compliance. Case number 9, Eric N. and Kimberly D. McGill. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Mr. Vakelja, this is the property at 1201 Essex Road. This is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. Inspector John Stinson. This is a complaint-driven violation. The property is vacant. There's been no response from the property owner. The property remains in non-compliance, and the staff is requesting next cutoff for the property to come into compliance.
Okay. Based on the city's report and not seeing a respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance in order the respondent to come into compliance. August 6, 2014, will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 10, Paul B. Porter.
Good morning.
Yes, folks, if you would please state your names and be sworn.
Paul B. Porter.
Betty Porter.
Spell your last name for me, please.
B-U-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N.
Okay. Can you both raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Porter, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Let me ask the city how much time they expect it would take to come into compliance.
The inspector indicated that the this is generated as complaint through of the conditions of the property from its tenant, interior and exterior problems. Up to this point, this is the first time the inspector said he's seen the owners. He's never spoken to anyone or seen anyone. And so the request of the staff is next cutoff for compliance.
All right. First off, have any of these violations been cured to date? To the city's knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. All right, Mr. Porter, the city is saying that you ought to be able to remedy all these violations by August 6th. What say Mr. Porter to that?
I have already hired a contractor, and he's itching to get in to do the inside. They won't let him in. They won't let me in. They won't let her in.
Her being Ms. Bullinger.
Yes.
And what is your role with regard to this property?
I was the one that, I kind of do most of his business for him. He hates to use a telephone, and I kind of work as a buffer. I tried to gain access so that we could find out what's, we didn't
it
even know
like
what the problems were.
Sounds like something akin to a property manager.
Pardon me?
So it sounds like you're doing something akin to a property manager.
As a friend, yes.
All right, so you've tried contacting the tenant.
Yes, sir. I talked to Mr. Stinson about a month or so ago and told him we'd hired a contractor and that they had not been able to get in yet, and that as soon as we complied that, you know, we would probably need an extra 30 days because it was getting so close to the time that it needed to be done. We've taken down the fencing outside. I don't know what the storage area is that you talked about outside, but I don't know what that is. The fencing has been removed. We have not been able to get inside. The contractor has not been able to gain access.
Why haven't you been able to gain access?
They won't let him in.
They being who?
The tenants.
The tenant being who?
Esther Johnson. And Tiffany Ferguson.
And why won't they give your contractor access?
They won't tell us. They won't open the door to talk. We say we have to get in to inspect here and get this thing done. And
you have a written lease with these people?
Yes.
Doesn't your lease give you permission to go onto the property?
Yes, sir. And we told them, and they still won't let us in.
Okay.
And they've done all of the damage because we had them in the lease inspect everything in the house before they moved in, and they said everything was working good.
Okay.
And they signed it.
They were a month and a half behind before we got notice from Mr. Simpson that there were any repairs that needed to be done. They had not told us that anything needed to be repaired other than the refrigerator was leaking water. We have a refrigerator put in there, but we can't get in there to put it in.
Okay, what say the city?
Simpson.
I have also not been back inside since the first inspection. I've had no contact with the tenants since then. I've left numerous messages, notes on the door, still no contact. To my knowledge, all the violations still exist. The outside storage you were referring to was the debris left over from the dilapidated fencing.
And the fencing has been removed.
It's gone. We gave it to the man across the street.
Okay.
It's gone. I promise.
Everything we could do has been done.
Okay. Understood. Understood.
So what do we do more time-wise? What do we do?
Well, they can't do it. They can't get inside.
But you want next cover. And then you can try and solve the challenge of getting away.
Right. Exactly.
The contractor can do the work within 2 or 3 days when he gets in. Mm-hmm. He's a builder.
I would probably suggest...
No. Okay, well, I'm going to continue this matter to our August 12, 2014 meeting. And I'm doing that to allow you folks the opportunity to get your contract so that you can determine what needs to be done, how long it's going to take, and what it's going to cost. And if I find out come August 12th that the tenant still does not allow you in there, then I'm going to continue giving you as much time as is necessary to get your contractor in there. Now, if the tenant wants to come down here on August 12th and tell me the facts or circumstances or something different than what I'm seeing here, they have every right to be here. But in the interim, we have an inspection that goes back to May. Mm-hmm. It appears to be all work that needs to be, well, I'm being told the exterior work's been done. And so I'm not particularly sensitive to a tenant that impedes a property owner's ability to make the very repairs that the tenant complains of. That's well said.
Ms. McCutcheon.
The only thing we've heard from them is that they're not going to pay any rent until everything is done.
And they won't let us in to do it.
Then if I were you, then all I can tell you in that regard is to contact an attorney, but that's your prerogative anyway. In any event, I'm going to continue this matter as far as the determination of a compliance date until August 12th, and I'm doing that to allow you additional time to get your contractor in there to take a look and see what needs to be done. If it can be done between now and August 12th, great, but if you're experiencing problems with the tenant, then I would certainly expect the tenant to make the premises available for inspection both by the city as well as yourself. So I'm continuing to August 12th, and at that point in time, I will hope to have more information from you after your contractor's been in there with regard to how long you would expect it to take to do these repairs. Because I'm satisfied with your efforts today. So,
is there a law that will allow me to get my contractor in there?
Well, it's your lease. I don't know what else to tell you. Now, if you're, and I'm not here to give legal advice, but if your tenant's denying you access to the property, especially when you need to get in there in order to come into compliance with the city's requirements, then they're, I would say, pretty clearly in breach of the lease. Now, what remedies you have or what rights you have against the tenant for doing so, that's for you and your attorney to figure out. I suppose they range anywhere from just getting you access to throwing them out, whatever that may be. But that's as far as I'm going as far as the free advice column is concerned.
We've told them over and over again not to park on the yard. They swear they don't park on the yard. We just saw a picture of a truck parked on the yard. Do we have the right to call a towing service and have anything that's on the property removed?
You're going to have to consult an attorney with regard to that. An attorney with a copy of your lease in hand, I'm sure.
We have that in all of these.
All right. So in the meantime, I am postponing any decision with regard to compliance because I'm hearing and believing that the tenant is denying you access to correct these violations. And so I'm not going to put a compliance date in there until you know what you're committing yourself to.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. We'll see you on August 12th.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Case number 11, Photo Group Incorporated. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name.
My name is Robert W. Keen, K-U-E-H-N. I am the senior property manager for Charles Wing Properties, and I'm here to represent Photo Group.
Senior property manager. Yeah. Can you raise your hand, please? That'd be fine. Thank you. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and all truth and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Yes, sir. So you are here as an agent of Photo Group Incorporated?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Jackson, you satisfied with Mr. Kuhn's authority to speak on behalf of this respondent?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Kuhn, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then I find the respondent in noncompliance. What say the city with regard to time to come into compliance?
Mr. McKelder, our issue here is this property was an anticipated demolition. It got delayed. It needs to be cleaned up and demolished. The owner has applied for the demo permit, and I think I have to turn to my inspector to further advise you.
Officer Clegg, Code Enforcement, City of Daytona. A permit was issued on 6/28 for demolition. What we have here is they did complete some minor cosmetic work that's up to city standards. They try to retain the fence, put it on the trespass referrals site list, secured some entrances and some of the doorways. The city is looking for is a demolition completion date with a progress report every month to because it's generated through city manager's chief of police complaints from citizens. Even though the permit was issued, we need a demolition date for completion, and we were looking towards September.
Mr. Kelly, this has reached the level of matter of public discussion in terms of the concerns of the citizens and the commission as to something being done with the property.
Okay. A permit for demolition was pulled on June 28th. And what was represented to the city as to when demolition would occur?
It has to be within 6 months, but the city's requesting it to be the completion by September. Respondent advised that the owners said it would be down before end of the summer, early fall, which would put it into September's compliance.
And just clarification on that sentence, my inspectors tend to say that, and I just want to make sure we're clear. When he says it has to be done within 6 months, that's the time limit for
The life of the permit,
right? So that's all he really indicates.
Okay, this is on A1A and what?
A1A and Oak Ridge, Yale Thunderbird Hotel, or Seaside Inn, right north of, south of the Plaza Hotel. So what we're getting is Plaza people and complaints. Yale Thunderbird. And complainants are coming also from the Plaza. They're notifying the Hotel Motel Association that they pay $300 a night to stay, and they have to look at this next door, so...
All right, Mr. Kuhn. Well, okay, I'm still not quite clear. So the relief the city is looking for is what? Demolition to take place by a date certain?
September cutoff, please.
September cutoff. So that's September 3, 2014.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Kuhn, the city is testifying that you ought to be able to come into compliance by demolishing this structure by September 3, 2014. What say you to that?
Well, first off, I want to say that Sam Sula, they were the ones that pulled the permit. Actually, it was a renewal. We had a previous permit that had expired. The second thing is Sam Sula has commenced with asbestos abatement. Sam Sula has also provided the 10-day notice to the Florida Department of Environmental Protection for intent to demolish. The FDEP still has a couple of outstanding permit review items and some comments, and they relate to the historical significance of the property. Zev Cohen, who's a civil engineer, has requested that we clear the comments before demolition starts. Code enforcement has had numerous inspections, and we will continue to work with code enforcement regarding the inspections and do whatever is needed for compliance. Yesterday, I signed a notice of commencement for Sam Sula to get the work started. So we're doing all that we can to get the demolition process started. Now, regarding the compliance by September 30th, as you know, it's September 3rd. That's probably a holiday, I believe. But whatever. It gives us the rest of July and August. As you know, there are outside forces that will be influencing this, but we will do our best to be in compliance.
Once the actual demolition starts, how long does it take?
Well, this is a three-story structure, and it's was built in 1956, so the concrete is actually very hard. I've seen the demolition that Sam Sula did for an adjacent property called the Old Esquire Beach. It took around 3 to 4 weeks. I'm estimating that it could take anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks. There's a pool that has to be removed. There's a basement that has to be removed and filled back in. This property is in the shape of a U. Concerns are it's a small footprint and access can be off of A1A. But once this property comes down, Oak Ridge, which right now is being used as a parking, and that parking is being done on a diagonal. It's actually doing damage to our fence. The property line along there actually is in our former parking lot. So my point is that they're going to have to work in a fairly small space to do the demolition, so it may add a little bit more time. The old Esquire Beach, they actually had access from a side property, but with this there's no side property. But it'll be a challenge.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent be in compliance by demolishing the structure by September 3 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I'm sensitive to all those requirements that you just read off a moment ago. And so my point is, as this progresses, if those things do in fact cause delays, then be prepared to come back and explain it to me. We'll certainly take that into consideration. So I guess I'm anxious to get this done by September 3, if humanly possible. If forces beyond our control keep that from happening, then just be sure to be able to remind me what those forces were. Because I understand some of the things that you have to deal with, the regulatory bodies that you have to deal with in knocking this thing down. So I guess what I'm saying is it can be done. I hope it is done. If it's not accomplished, then be prepared to explain why.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kelch, we ask if we could have a progress report in August just so that we can be able to report on status. We are questioned about this on a regular basis.
That's fine. I'll go ahead and also order that we'll put this matter on our August 12th agenda for a progress report. And at that point in time, you or whoever wants to come on behalf of the respondent can explain to the city where you stand in the process, which quite frankly is as much of a benefit for you as it is the city. Because, anyway, it's as much of a benefit for you as it is the city. So on August 12th, we'll revisit where we are and go from there.
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 12, Gary and Darlene Bowley.
Good morning,
sir.
Good morning.
All right, Mr. Woods, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir. Mr. Jackson educated me as to that matter yesterday, so there is no...
I find the respondent in noncompliance.
Mr. Woods, could you just state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Michael Woods with law firm Cobb Cole, 351 East New York Avenue, DeLand, for the respondents.
Okay, then I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Jackson, how much time does the city think it should take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Mr. Kelton, the city is requesting that the respondent come into compliance within 10 days. There's some concern in this conversation that the effort of the and the advertising of these short-term rentals indicate an effort to try and at least finish out through the summer. And although it's been explained that that's just not the way it works, it's done and for it to stop, we are requesting that that be made clear through your order, a 10-day order to comply. Also, if you're willing, Mr. Vakelja, there are some witnesses who wanted to come forward, and I know you tend to allow people to come forward even when the matter's resolved. I don't know if they still feel the need to come forward. Okay, they're saying they don't feel the need to come forward any longer.
Mr. Woods, what say you to the city's suggestion that 10 days should be sufficient time to make
As the nature is of the use, my client has said that the advertisements that were referred are no longer up there. I just want to be clear as to how we prove that up to the city that we are, in fact, in compliance within 10 days. What does the city need to be demonstrated?
Well, what we need is to make sure that he refunds all of the money that he already rented his house for. We got local residents are complaining that even though the ad was pulled the 1st of July, people are still coming there on a daily, weekly basis. And they already paid Mr. Bowie the money, and he has not refunded the money or canceled the short-term rentals. So what we're looking for is to make sure from within 10 days, everybody in the future is not going to be coming, even though the ad was pulled. So,
I see.
Because we're making a daily and weekly inspection of the property. So.
And I guess the clarity of that is that whatever it takes for him to remedy termination or whatever he expects in the future, just need no future continuation. Apparently, there's this expectation of a future continuation,
okay.
But we need that to...
So some statement from the client saying all monies have been remedied and, right. And refunded back. Okay.
It's back to finding itself.
So are we all in agreement on 10 days?
I think so.
Yes. All right. Then I will order the respondent to come into compliance within 10 days or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you much. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Take care.
Do you have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
Back to
the Mayan. There you go. All right. Mayan Ocean Waters. Okay, for a progress report.
If you can come up.
Can you state your name?
Robert Snowden.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes,
thank you.
And your... I think your position as far as
Chief Building Inspector
for the City of Daytona Beach. And you're bringing this progress report. We don't have anyone else from the Mayan. Do you know any reason or have you had any communication with anyone that said they would be here?
No, I haven't. And as we are right now, we have an expired permit from 4714. They were doing spalling, balcony repairs and whatnot. On that same day, they applied for additional permit, and we issued comments, and they never responded to that either. And that is GC Contractors.
And that's as of April?
April 7th. They're both on the same day. One expired one day, and then they applied for a different permit on the
same day. So since April 7th, it's been waiting, and they have not responded to the comments?
Correct. So as we sit right now, we have no active permit.
It doesn't sound too good. Is work being done?
I don't know. I haven't been by there and done a personal inspection. But normally what they do is kind of close down for the summertime and rent the place out. Because spalling repair and all that, you have to, they're chipping concrete and everything else. They basically, if they're going to work on the back half, they're going to shut the pool deck down.
Mr. Couch, I don't know if you... I don't know if it's the same contractors, but it is the same ownership group that we dealt with previously with
LaPlaya.
With LaPlaya, and we had the similar situation. The summer shut down, and we had these. That was the code board. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, anyway, we've had a similar situation. It was with the code boards with another one of their properties, LaPlaya, which required a lot of this type of repairs, result of the spalling and so forth. And we had a major issue in dealing with that concern that even though we had a timeline, the convenience has shut down because of the slow and the need to push the room occupancy. They shut down pretty much during the summer and stopped the work. And we had a concern with that in the past. And so with these folks, we just, as again, I can't tell you whether it's the same contract. I don't know if Mr. Snowden knows that, but even so, same ownership group and the same circumstance. What we'd like is for for them to have permits in hand by next cutoff. I spoke with Mr. Snowden before. I think he can confirm that they're able to have those permits obtained or by that time period. The request, the comments are comments they can remedy and have those permits in hand. I think that would be the first statement of continuing and moving forward in good faith. We've given them tons of time, realizing it's a major job for them to undertake and what they're doing and what they need to do. And so we just need some good faith, and obviously not having permits leaves that to question whether they're working with diligence to get this thing remedied.
All right, well, this matter is before me on a progress report. And I guess the progress I'm hearing is that permits have been expired since, what, April 7th?
April 7th.
Yes.
One expired, and they applied for a new one to do additional work on the same exact day. And we've issued comments to them to correct, to issue the permit, and they have not responded.
Okay.
I guess what I didn't do is I do have an email that came as a refresher to me from Mr. Ziegler to Mr. Garcia, indicating his perspective of where they are at. So I'd like to present that to you, Mr. McElgin. And I don't have another copy, so. What about this stuff? This was their prior timeline, but this is what they're saying. This is what he's saying is they are based on. Oh, he gave him one.
Oh,
yeah. Yes,
I'm sorry, they also included the previous timeline as you.
We haven't done an inspection over there. I don't know if all valve work is completed. I mean, are these recent pictures here?
Yes, these are the recent pictures.
Okay. I mean, this kind of permit requires a threshold inspector that goes by there on a, you know, could be a daily basis if they're really running pretty good. That way they can keep up with the project and not have to wait around for inspectors to come in. So. If their permit's complete, they never called for a final inspection or tried to close the permit out. But they did apply for a new one on that same day, so.
Sounds like permits have expired. Sounds like work's continued. And we don't have a respondent here. This is a progress report, and you're wanting me to take action.
Well, realize, and we're not asking for you to fine them. I believe that, as you would, based on our indication, we'd probably have due process issue in trying to impose a fine. But I believe by putting them on notice of an order to comply, that's what we would anticipate arising out of a progress report if the progress wasn't being made. The appropriate orders to generate the progress.
When's their completion date?
I don't know if we ever fixed one.
There's no set compliance date. I believe they had stated they anticipated May of 2015.
There's definitely a lot of work to be done there. Sit with no maintenance or anything for a long time. So the more they work, the more they're going to find.
So are we happy with what they've done so far? Not happy? Concerned? Not concerned?
We're concerned, but we're relying on engineer of record to maintain the safety of the building.
And who would that be?
I don't have that, but they definitely have an engineer of record.
That's been provided before.
But I guess what I'm hearing are issues concerning the status of permits.
It is the contractor's responsibility to keep them active.
Work having been done perhaps without permits?
I don't think they've worked there for the last couple of months. So the way that I see those permits, I haven't made contact with GC Contracting, but the way they applied for a new one, with an additional work, the first permit was like $50,000 worth of Spalding balcony repairs, and the second one's for $200,000. So it's.
And I'm also hearing the suggestion that some work may have been completed prior to inspections that would have been required.
Okay, well, the inspections on this kind of project is a threshold inspector. Mm-hmm. They give us an engineered report saying that they've witnessed the inspections and they can keep going forward and stuff.
So What are we lacking right now in addition to permits? What are we lacking to satisfy ourselves that this job is being done the way it's supposed to be done?
Just in a timely manner, I guess. I mean, because it is being done, it's just being done at a real slow pace.
Is there any reports that we should have or notifications that we should have received?
Well, we take the threshold inspections, and we do that, but we do a final. That way we can verify that everything has been done that are on the reports. But we can't go out there on a daily basis every single day on the hour, in the hour, when they're ready to pour concrete and stuff like that.
I can ask this differently, Bo. The things he indicated here that are complete, are those things that will require some type of further inspection? If indeed they're complete, we determine they're complete, or he determines they're complete?
No, we determine that they're complete.
And so would he need to notify, which is, I guess, what he's kind of doing there?
I can't see all column work being complete. I mean, on the progress report back here.
So you've got a terminology issue, perhaps?
I mean, I think we definitely need to do a site visit with the contractor, for sure.
What stage of these renovations are we in right now? Like, what percentage of work would you estimate has been done?
I don't have an answer for that right there because I don't know how much is entailed. And there's a lot of work to be done there.
Are we better than 50%?
Forget it. It doesn't matter. We're going to go ahead and set this on the August 12th meeting for another progress report. And at that point in time, I'm going to want to hear from the respondent the status of permits, the status of any, and from the city, whether any inspections were called for that haven't been done. And there's a third item, which I've just forgotten about. But in any event, I want another progress report, and if I need to hear from the engineer, then we'll hear from the engineer. Because this is an extended program, I understand that. I don't want it turning sloppy along the way. So we'll have, and I'm not suggesting that it is. I'm just suggesting that you folks obviously have questions. I have questions, so we need to hear from the people that can give us the answers. So on August 12, 2014, we'll have another progress report, and at that time, I'm expecting a representative from the respondent to be here, and if that means the engineer to explain to us what's transpiring and where we stand, then so be it.
Mr. Hilch, there was a report submitted early on in the case from TLC Engineering. And there's a number for a project manager, Michael Yeba. So I don't know if those you guys need that information. It was submitted in the file.
I believe we would have that down in permanent. Okay.
Okay, I have notes from the October 8, 2013 meeting. I have a timeline I don't quite understand.
Right.
Yeah, that's what
I have. An October 2013 letter.
Yes, sir.
Is that the information you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, that's all well and good. Now I want to be updated. Okay? Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any... That concludes the regular agenda. Any miscellaneous business?
Yes. Starting... yeah, we could do this on record. Starting next month, we will be including an additional agenda. So we'll be utilizing you further. And I think we've kind of suggested this to you before. The rental house, help me with it. Rental housing program, so rental housing inspection agenda will also be an agenda that will be coming during these hours. Our intent is to schedule them our anticipation is that they will be bringing about 4 to 5 cases. And of course, with old plus new, things can make those numbers vary as we go along, but the intent is that they'll have about 4 to 5 cases, new cases that they'll be introducing at a per meeting. And the anticipation is that we would schedule them for 9 o'clock and then schedule the magistrate, the code magistrate regular code or traditional code for 9:30 and then schedule the red lights for 10:30. Understanding changes in all of those things, so it'll be something we'll fill out and see what we need to shift or change. With the goal for, of course, that we try and be able to end by noon so I can be over to county court red light cameras by 1. I mean, not county court, but traffic court. So the inspectors, oh, is he up there? Okay, the inspectors are here, and I actually want them to come and take a moment and greet you, so I guess we can do that at the after we adjourn.
Nice to meet you, David.
And his support staff. She will be the your other Amy. Now you have two Amys. So she will be the support staff for your support staff for the rental housing inspection cases, and hopefully that'll something that's been put in place and of concern that the commission wants to see rolling, and as well as the administration, and we're ready to make sure that's happening.
10-4.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nothing else.
All right, then we are adjourned until 10.